ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ज्ञानचिनिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। नामश्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचिपुत्रम् अत्र स्वरूपं रूपं तस्यानुजमरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रत्यथ कृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि। वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयतः परकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सार्वजातं सहगणरघुनाथन्वितं तं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादा। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Sri Vishnu Sahasranama, name 577, as given in this edition that I'm following, is Sarvadrik. The next name is Vyasa, and some of the acharyas commenting on this, they make this one name, Sarvadrik Vyas, including our own Baladev Vidyabhushan, Gaurya commentator. He, Vyas means he who divided the Veda, and he, so that's the meaning, one who divides. One who, specifically that refers to who divides the Vedas. Now, first of all, I'll cover Sarvadrik. There's already been the name Sarvadarshan, which means the same thing. There may be some subtle difference, but if there is, it's beyond me. He sees everything. That means he sees everything. Krishna is watching you. Who are you? Are you that body or something else? Well, he's watching the body and he's watching the soul. We can see because Krishna sees. He sees everything. We can see a tiny, 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 tiny part of reality. As Srila Prabhupada often pointed out, we can't even see our own eyes. Unless we have a mirror, but that's not really seeing, is it? It's indirect seeing. All seeing is indirect because he is the actual seer. That's a big discussion. The seer and the seen. Drig drishya vichar. That's a big topic brought up by the Mayavadis, and they have the idea that the seer and the seen are the same, which is... a bit difficult to understand. And we want to see Krishna. We don't want to become Krishna. We can't become Krishna. So he is the seer of everything. regarding this, I'm going to read a few verses from the Bhagavatam, which discuss this point. Naiva, this is Prithu Maharaj speaking. Naiva lakshayate loko lokan parya tato piyam yata sarvadrisham sarva atmanam yesya hetavah. So you heard there, sarvadrisham. This is actually referring to the four Kumaras he's speaking to. They are endowed with the same, some of the same qualities as the Supreme Lord. But even though they're all seeing, they're not all seeing in the same way that the Supreme Lord is all seeing. He literally sees everything. And a devotee can also become, by his grace, Trikalagya. Vyas is Trikalagya. He can see past, present, and future. So they can see, means they see everything, means they see everything in relation with Krishna. And if Krishna wants, they can also see things far away or see everything. About Shukadev, Śrūta Gosvāmī offers prayers, Tam Sarva Bhutaya Hridayam Munimānatosmi. I offer my respects to that Muni who can enter the hearts of all. So that's what Krishna does, but by the grace of Krishna, a devotee can do also. And even the demigods, they also are in the hearts of all because they have to see what everyone is doing. They're also they're the representations of the various elements which make up the body. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he commented that just as Sada Hridaya Kandare Spurutu Varshachinandana, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the heart of everyone, and Rupa Goswami blesses his readers that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu may manifest within your heart, but he's there. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, I just quoted that, Jashaba Loya Karen Nitya Vihar. He, taking all his associates, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performs his pastimes. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur commented that the Pancha Tattva are there in every atom also. And the Supreme Lord's there means that they're all there everywhere. So that's possible. So, did I read this? Although you are traveling in all planetary systems, people cannot know you just as they cannot know the Supersoul. Although he is within everyone's heart as the witness of everything. Even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot understand the Supersoul. So if you don't understand anything about Krishna consciousness philosophy, don't worry. Because even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva can't understand. To some extent, we can understand. Not fully. Demigods in praying to the Supreme Lord. In this from Canto 8. Achakshur andhasya yatha grani kritas tata janasya vidusho buddho guruhu tvam arkadrik sarvadrisham samikshano vrito gurur na Svagating Babhut Satam. As a blind man being unable to see accepts another blind man as his leader. Common example. It's given elsewhere in the Bhagavatam also. People who do not know the goal of life accept someone as a guru who is a rascal and a fool. But we are interested in self-realization. Therefore we accept you, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as our spiritual master, for you are able to see in all directions and are omniscient like the sun. So Arkadrik can see like the sun, and Sarvadrisham sees everything. Then Brahma, after offering his prayers to Krishna, after having returned the calves and boys who he had returned, who had stolen. He prayed to Krishna. Anujani himang Krishna saravang tvang vetsi saravadrik. There you have saravadrik. Exactly the same name as here. Tvameva jagatam nato jagade tattavarpitam. My dear Krishna, I now humbly request permission to leave. Actually, you are the knower and seer of all things. Indeed, you are the Lord of all the universes, and yet I offer this one universe to you. How can Lord Brahma offer the universe to Krishna? It already belongs to him. Well, how can we offer a flower to Krishna? How can we offer anything to Krishna? So it's quite acceptable for Brahma to offer the universe to Krishna, even though it already belongs to him. In the purport to this verse, no, not this verse. Yeah, it is to this verse, except that there's some mess up. The words sarvam tvang vetsi sarvadrik are very significant here. Lord Krishna knows everything and sees everything. And therefore Lord Brahma did not need to remain in Vrindavan to maintain his personal loving contact with the Lord. Ah, so that's good. If we think Krishna is all-seeing, he can see us. So if we want, we can maintain our relationship with him. He's always there. He sees everything. We should think Krishna is seeing everything. I'm under the protection of Krishna. For the non-devotees, they won't like this. God is seeing everything. It's just like the criminal doesn't want to be seen by the police. Now it's very common in the Western world. Everywhere there are cameras, in shops, in all public places. Because the people, there are so many untrustworthy people, so much crime. So there are cameras everywhere. And it's not that someone's watching them all the time, but if someone does something wrong, they can, or something untoward happens, then they can rewind, not exactly rewind, that's all technology, but they can look back and see who did it. So the criminal doesn't like that there will be cameras everywhere. The non-devotee doesn't like that God is watching him. But the devotee is very happy. You don't have to be in Vrindavan. Krishna's everywhere. Of course, Vrindavan gives great impetus for us to remember Krishna, whereas the material world is designed not to remember Krishna. And we're hearing discussions of Krishna, so that we can come to see Krishna everywhere, just as he sees us everywhere. Now, the name Vyasa. Now I'm going to have to come back again to Saravadrik Vyas. So Vyas means he who arranged or divided the Vedas. That means there was one Veda originally. But Vyas divided into four Vedas. With the idea that at the present time, people, they're dull. For Kali Yuga, people are dull. So they need it more orderly form so that they can understand it. So he divided the Vedas and simplified it. And another meaning of Vyas, which is not particularly to do with Vyasadeva, who we know as the compiler or the arranger of the Vedas, is he who has divided time as well as his creation into various subdivisions. There is time, but that is divided into day and night, months, fortnights, years. By the natural movements of the planets, there are divisions like this. Is it night or is it day? Kunjabihari. You're feeling like it's night, huh? Feeling sleepy there? Mm-hmm. So by the movements of the, yeah, then there are the waning fortnight, the Krishna Paksha, and the Shukla Paksha, the waxing fortnight of the moon. And the two pakshas put together makes the months, and 12 months or 13 months, depending on whether you're measuring by the sun or the moon, make 1 year. And there are divisions also. There's so many divisions. Man from woman, sun from moon. The sun is different to the moon. So many distinctions. So he's made the divisions. And the Mayavadis want to make it all one. They're offensive. Because he's made it. He's made divisions. And why do you want to make it all? Why do you think you're more intelligent? You try to make it all one. Then... another meaning here is that a completely different meaning here is his ornaments, like the Kostuba, they shine distinctively. Yeah, and you see, I'm not giving it every time, but every time they don't just make it up, but they give some interpretation, either from Shastra, some quote, or they give a analysis of the words according to Sanskrit grammar. So these various divisions are there. Another meaning is of Vyas. He not only divides the Vedas, but yeah, he gives, by doing so, he creates many knowledgeable persons, and by his gift, he's Dravina Prada, that was just given that name, one who gives wealth. So by making the Vedas available, he made it usable for the people of the world so they can become knowledgeable and benefit the world. Just like, for instance, you can get iron ore, but it's not very, you can't do much with it. But when it's separated from the other minerals, then it's useful. So in the same way, Vyas, in his writings, he has organized the Vedas and clarified the difference between matter and spirit. Otherwise, if it's all together, all blended together like that, then it's not very accessible. Now, if the two names are taken together, Sarva Drik Vyas, then that means that, yeah, he's all-seeing Vyas. So actually, all the forms of Bhagavan, they're all-seeing. That's characteristic of Bhagavan. Although Rama appeared not to be, even to himself he seemed like a human being. There's a reason for that, apart from his pastimes, the pastimes of Rama, because Ravana had to be killed not by any god, and Vishnu is counted as a god. Ravana was so arrogant and complacent, is a better word, that he thought, well, there's no need to take benediction that I won't be killed by any human. It's just like you wouldn't ask someone, please protect me from the mice. You don't become terrified when you see a mouse. Some people might do. I don't think in India, but in England, there's something that girls are sometimes afraid of mice. You get that here also? Women also. But not men. Somehow they get afraid of mice. Anyway, Ravana wasn't afraid of humans. He ate them for breakfast and for lunch also. And he didn't take any benediction. They wouldn't be threatened by monkeys. It's just it's below their dignity to ask for such a benediction. Kumbhakarna, he's fighting and killing monkeys and throwing some in his mouth, he's munching away while he's fighting, taking a little snack while he's fighting. So Rama, he didn't appear to be all-seeing. He appeared to be ignorant of his being the Supreme Lord, because he had to be a human so that he could kill Ravana. So all the forms of the Lord are sarvatrik, but especially is mentioned Vyas, because his contribution is to give knowledge of past, present and future in the Vedas. And he gives so many past histories, so many past vanshas, what's that called, genealogical tables. And he gives predictions for the future. So he sees the past and the future, and he sees the whole universe and gives the cosmology. So this name is especially suited to Vyas. That Vyas is all-seeing is described in the Bhagavatam. That once upon a time he, Vyas, as the sun rode, took his morning ablution in the waters of the Sarasvati and sat alone to concentrate. So he rose early in the morning, bathed, and sat down to meditate. So he saw anomalies in the duties of the millennium. In other words, that people would not be following dharma properly. In the Kali Yuga, especially in the Kali Yuga. This happens on the earth in different ages due to the unseen force of time. The great sage who was fully equipped in knowledge, you see, sarvadrik, could see, that exact word is not used to him, could see through his transcendental vision the deterioration of everything material due to the influence of the age. So he's meditating, Vyasa is meditating in the sandhya, in the interim period between Dwarapa Yuga and Kali Yuga, or the transition period is maybe a better term. Just like we say, sandhya, in the morning, sandhya, transition, the dawn, transition period between day and night. And midday is sandhya, the transition between the sun climbing in the sky and going down. And then evening, sandhya, the transition between day and night. Did I say the first one is night and day? So it's in between. It's neither day nor night, it's something in between. So the in between the yugas, there's also sandhya, goes on for some time. And Vyas could see into the future. The Kali Yuga is upcoming. He could also see that the faithless people in general would be reduced in duration of life and would be impatient due to lack of goodness. Thus he contemplated for the welfare of men in all statuses and orders of life. He saw that the sacrifices mentioned in the Vedas were means by which the people's occupations could be purified. And to simplify the process, he divided the one Veda into four in order to expand them among men. So he's all-seeing. He can see past, present and future. He can see the need to divide the Vedas. But having done all that, he divided the Vedas, he got the Puranas compiled under various disciples of his. He personally wrote the Vedanta Sutras and Mahabharata. Still he was feeling dissatisfied. What was the reason for that? He couldn't find it out. He's all-knowing, but he's missing something. This is, of course, the pastimes of the Lord. He appears to be missing something. Something he can't understand. So then his guru, Narad, came and instructed him. And Yeah, then I've written it. It's Narada. Actually, Vyas said to Narada that Savai Bhavan Veda Samasta Guhyam Upasito Yat Purusha Puranaha Paravaresho Manasaiva Vishvam Srijatya Vatyati Gunaira Sangaha. Vyas said to Narada, everything that is mysterious is known to you. So he's saying to Narada, you know everything. Even that which I can't, I haven't been able to grasp. You know everything because you worship the creator and destroyer of the material world and the maintainer of the spiritual world, the original personality of Godhead, who is transcendental to the three modes of material nature. Like the sun, your goodness, Vyas continues, can travel everywhere in the three worlds, and like the air, you penetrate the internal region of everyone. As such, you are as good as the all-pervasive Supersoul. Please, therefore, find out the deficiency in me, despite my being absorbed in transcendence under disciplinary regulations and vows. So Vyas knows everything, but he's asking Narada, you know everything. So you tell me what's going on, what went wrong. Why am I feeling disappointed? Because he had explained about Krishna being the Supreme Lord. He'd given Bhagavad Gita, and within various Puranas, of course, Vyasa, he didn't personally compile all the Puranas. His father, Parashara, had given the Vishnu Purana, in which it said, Aishvaryasya Samagrasya Viryasya Yashasya Shriha Jnana Vairagya Yoshaiva Shandang Bhagat Itingina. The definition of Bhagavan as being replete with all opulences in full. So, there are many statements in Padma Purana also referring to the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, referring to his pure devotional service, but they're all mixed up with various other statements. So Narada pointed out the defect that he hadn't systematically glorified the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Sarvadrik Vyas means he divided the original Veda, and he can see everything in the Vedas. He can see everything there. He could see, yes. Vedaisha, he himself wrote at the end of Mahabharata that, Vedai Ramayana Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adavanteja Madhyam Cha Hari Sarvatra Giyate. In all the Vedas, the Ramayana, Mahabharata, all the different Vedic literature, beginning, middle, and end, Hari is glorified. So he could see that. But not everyone can see it. So he was required to give the Srimad Bhagavatam. He can see everything in the Veda, therefore he's able to divide it. This should go here, this should go there, this like this. The next name is Vachaspati, which means the Lord of Words, the Master of Words. This name has already come up, and it comes up here just as the verses are describing Vyasadeva, so it's very... Vachaspati is a very suitable name for the Supreme Personality of Godhead in any of his forms, but particularly for Vyas. And you can say also particularly for Krishna, because Krishna gives Bhagavad Gita, Uddhava Gita. There are other forms who particularly give the Vedas. We can't say that forms like Ram or Nrsimha are not Vachaspati, but some specifically give the Vedas. Sri Parashara Bhatta gives this meaning of this name here to refer to Vyasa's authorship of the Mahabharata. Because after all, the Vedas are aparushaya. They're not written by anyone. They simply exist. Just as the Supreme Personality of Godhead always exists. the jivas always exist, so the Vedas also always exist. Of course, everything is dependent on the Supreme Lord, but you can't say, it's not correct to say that Vyasa is the author of the Vedas. He's the divider of the Vedas. But he is the author of the Mahabharata. So it can also be understood to mean that he's the master of all learning. It's not exactly the same. Also means that his words are very meaningful. He doesn't use words to talk all nonsense. We could also say that Vacha refers to Sarasvati, so he's the Lord of Sarasvati. Sarasvati, Krishna Priya. What is that? Krishna Bhakti Tar here. Shai Shai Binode Bhaibhav. Sarasvati, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Sarasvati is very dear to Krishna. Her heart is Krishna Bhakti. And she is the decoration, or she is the glory of Bhaktivinoda. So that's another meaning. Baladev gives the same thing. He's the author of the Puranas and Mahabharata, which means Vyasadev. And the next name is Ayonija, which means not born from any womb, which puts him in a different category to all other beings here. Of course, being born from a womb is for humans, or under modern scientific terms, for mammals. But there's also, Yonija, Shvetaja, then they're born from perspiration, Udbijaja, born from seeds, and Andaja, born from eggs. So there are four different kinds of. Of course, the egg comes out of the womb of the bird or the reptile or whatever. Krishna appears like a human, and he appears to enter the womb. I mean, there's the second chapter of the 10th canto of Bhagavatam is generally referred to as Garbha Stuti, because it's prayers by the demigods to Krishna within the womb of Devaki. The Garbha means the womb. So the prayers to, or it means the embryo. But he's not actually born of Devaki's womb. Ajopi san avyaya atma bhutanam ishvaropi san prakritim swamadishtaya sambhavami atma mayaya. He is unborn. And he appears atma mayaya, out of his own maya. It means out of his own mercy, by his own energy. Or it could be out of his own illusion. He makes it seem as if he's an ordinary human. That kritavan kila karmani saharamena keshava ativatyani bhagavan gurha kapatamanusha. He appears like a human being, but not really. It's just some trick. He performed various pastimes with Balaram. But they're all superhuman. He's the Supreme Lord. He's not an ordinary human being. So this also refers to Vyasa, because Vyasa is described as follows in Srimad Bhagavatam by Narada. It's recorded. Ajang prajatang jagata shivaya. Although you are birthless, you have appeared on this earth for the well-being of all people. So it's well known that Vyas was born as the son of Parashara with the fisher girl Satyavati, but actually he's unborn. He appeared means he's not born just like we are born due to our previous activities and our material desires. But he comes to this world for a specific purpose. So in this way we can say he's not born. It's not that his form takes birth and then dies and it's finished forever, just like this body is unique. There's never been a body like this, ever, exactly the same. And there never will be, but it's only lasting a short time, then it's gone. But the Supreme Lord, his form is eternal. And although he appears to be born from the womb of Devaki, it's the same form that's appeared from the womb of Devaki countless times, and the same form that eternally exists in the spiritual world. It's completely spiritual form. It's not subject to the Sharavikar, the six transformations, birth, growth, staying for some time in one form, then production of byproducts, means having children, and then dwindling and then death. But Krishna's form is not subject to any material changes, so Krishna is a completely different entity. These two names are sometimes clubbed together, Vachaspatira Yonija. Shankara Acharya in particular clubs the two names together. And that may be also for the sake of squeezing up so as to get 1,000 names. That he's unborn is... Vyasadeva is unborn. According to the Mahabharata, it's stated therein that Vyasa is actually created out of sound. Out of the Bho Shabda. By Saraswati. As the Sanskrit is given, but I can't follow it exactly. Sarasvato. Atabhuyo jagat srishtva bhoshabdena anuvadayan sarasvating uchachara tatra sarasvato. I can't follow it exactly. An exact translation isn't given. But it's said that he's created out of sound by Bhagavan as Sarasvata, which means the son of Sarasvati. Baladev Vidyabhushan gives the meaning that, as a name for Vyas, that Sarasvati appears in his words. Her appearance is not physical, so she's not born. Her appearance is in the form of words from Vachaspati, the master of worlds. So he gives, he's Vachaspati, he gives birth or he gives rise to words which are not born from any womb or not, which gives the idea not born from any material source. They're all completely transcendental. So, Hare Krishna. Yeah, any question about this? Ah, yes. Shiva and Brahma are exalted personalities. That's a fact. Mahajanas, yeah. What do they not understand about Krishna? They understand everything about Krishna. What makes you think they don't understand? Because it just stated they don't understand. They understand. They're the Mahajanas. They can explain to us. They're the Acharyas. They know Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana. But it's not possible to know everything about Krishna. Krishna is bigger than the biggest and smaller than the smallest. Can you understand it? Go give some mathematical equation that infinitude can be equal to the infinitesimal. Means that which is so great is the same as that which is so small. It's not possible to understand. Avang manasa gochara is beyond our words and our mind to grasp. So there is the science of God. Part of the science of God is to realize our limitations. He doesn't have any limitation. He's unlimited. We're limited. So we can't understand everything about Him. That's all. Anything else? Why has Vyasa confused people in the Shiva Purana by saying that Shiva is God? Because they want to be confused. It's better they're confused in that way than in other ways. At least they're in the Vedic circle. So because people have material desires, they're given the opportunity to fulfill material desires while remaining on the path of the Vedas. If we insist everyone immediately just surrender to Krishna, they're not going to do it. If we give only surrender to Krishna or be a total demon and against the Vedas and everything, then people, they won't be able to follow that and they'll go down very badly. So people have material desires, they like to worship different demigods to fulfill material purposes, kangshanta karmanam siddhim yajante devataha. People in this world, they worship demigods to get material results. And their faith in the Vedic process increases. And gradually, by performing various materialistic acts prescribed in the Vedas, if they get association of pure devotees, they can very easily come to the proper position.
Guru Maharaj has spoken today about Vyasa and Sarasvati, and my question is why Vyasa, written Veda is in so vague and indirect, I mean in this Parokshavada, why is it just impossible to make language that every word will be only one exactly meaning? Because we see that
only one.
Vedas, different people understand in different ways.
Different people understand the Vedas in different ways. Why didn't Vyasa make it completely clear? He did. In Srimad Bhagavatam. Even the Vedas are completely clear to one who has the eyes to see them. See, anything you read, spiritual or material, that will be processed through the consciousness of the reader or the hearer. In their consciousness, that means their attitudes, their desires, their preconceptions. So ultimately one has to hear Shastra from a guru. And who will give the right idea, and then one has to be prepared to receive that also. So not everyone's qualified to receive the actual. Most people don't want it. You can go and tell people as clearly as you like, Krishna is supreme. And most people won't accept it. Some people will accept it. Oh, it's clear, but Naivasura. What is it? Naivasura. I quoted it the other day. Prabhat. You can find that. You're looking for that. The demon, it's completely clear. What is it? Tvam Shila Rupa Charitai Paramapukrishtai Satvena Satvikatiyaka Prabalaischa Shastra Prakyata Deva Paramatav. Paramatav. Then what is that? You got that verse? Tvam Shila Rupa Charitai Paramapukrishtai? Oh, it's so slow. It's a good idea to keep it up during the class. Tanshila Rupa Charitai Paramapakrishtai. This Yamunacharya says that you're praying to Krishna, your character, your personality, your form, everything is super excellent. And that is described and glorified in all the parts of the Shastra, which are especially meant for persons in the mode of goodness and by people in the mode of goodness. They very clearly and strongly state, Krishna is supreme. Prakyata Deva Paramata Vidang Mataischa. You are seen and understood very clearly by the topmost transcendentalists, but naiva sura prabhavatam. Yeah, what's the last line? Naivasura prakataya prabhavanti bodham. But the demons, because they're demons, they can't understand you. So it's not that Vyas made it unclear, it's just that we're unclear. Just like you may see, there's some mathematics formula is written on the page. And the students who know the subject, they'll come look, yeah, absolutely clear. And I will come and say, can't understand a word, I can't understand any of it. So it's clear, but some training is required. Naivasura prakratiya prabhavanti bodham. Hare Krishna. Shri Vishnu Sahasranama Ki Jai. Hare Krishna.